Good evening. Giving honor to God, it is so good to be here at Cross Culture Church. This is my home church, and it's our home church, and we're just so grateful for the opportunity that Minister Francine and Pastor Walker has bestowed on my husband, my, what I say, awesome man of God, Reverend Clint Walker. You can read his bio. They've passed that out, but I'd like to speak to you from the heart about Clint Walker. Many years ago, over 30 years ago, I was sat down by my fiance, who told me that he had a calling on his life and that he knew without a doubt that he was called to preach the word. And he told me, if you're going to be with me, you will probably be a minister's wife. And so I'm leaving that decision up to you, if that's what you want to do, because I know without a doubt that I'm called to preach the word to the masses. And being the godly man that he was and how much I felt the love for him in my heart, there was no question that I was going to be a minister's wife. And I had a lot to learn, but he was so kind to usher me to God. And it was through his instruction and his godly influence that I was able to develop my own personal relationship with God the Father. And so it is my hope tonight that you hear through him who has allowed himself to be a vessel for God for so long, the honest words of our Father, as I've heard from him many, many times, and I've been instructed by him over the years. He has been a godly influence on my life. He's been a godly influence on our family, but also he's been a godly influence to thousands of others through his ministry. And so as he ushered me to God, I hope tonight that he will do the same for you. I bring to you my awesome man of God, my husband, Reverend Clint Walker.
That was a good bio, but I want to amp it down. I just want to say thank you. I am humbled to be here before you. And I just want to thank the church, pastor, Minister Francine. It's my cousins, but to me, I've always respected them as men and women, man and a woman of God. And so my cousin is my pastor, and that's how I respect him. But so whenever he says something, I've been knowing my cousin a long time, but I've never known him to waste words. Never known him to say things to flatter you or to say things that, you know, just because, you know, but he says things from the heart, and I know my cousin, he's prayed about it. So he doesn't just say things casually, and he doesn't involve himself in that type of thing. So when he asked me, you know, and, you know, couldn't work it out on the Sunday, so I was getting ready to hang up, and then he said, got Wednesday. And I said, thought about it, I said, I'm going to listen to him because that's a man of God. And so I'm going to listen. And I accept it. So praise God. So let us. Bow our heads in a word of prayer. Lord, we just thank you, Heavenly Father, and we give you all of the glory and honor and praise tonight. Lord, we just thank you, Heavenly Father, for a godly influence over 39 years. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, that we know, Heavenly Father, that your godly influence upon us, Heavenly Father, will help us to impact and make change. So, Lord, we thank you. And, Lord, Heavenly Father, as I come and as I speak, Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, that your words, Heavenly Father, will come forth. Lord, I decrease while you increase. And I just pray, Lord, that your influence will be in this place. And I give you all of the glory, honor, and praise. Amen. Got to give you the scripture. Let me give you the scripture. It's Matthew 5, 13, and 16. It's very familiar. It's a very familiar scripture, and talks about salt and light. It talks about how Jesus was preparing the disciples. Matter of fact, before that, it was the Beatitudes. And so the Beatitudes, you know, he gave all the Beatitudes and then he talked about them being salt and light. And the last one, though, the Beatitudes, the last one says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. This is Matthew 5 and 11 and 12. And it says, rejoice, be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Then we have salt and light. And before I go any further, I just want to say this will probably be more of a testimony than a sermon, if that's okay. Okay, because I'm not going to come before you and, you know, try to be an expert on godly influence, or, you know, I want you to know that I'm humbled, and, you know, I've made mistakes, and God, you know, had to work with me, so I'm coming from a standpoint of humbleness, so not of, you know, I know, or this and that, but preaching to you, but I'm going to, you know, preach with you, and we're going to walk this thing out together. So, when he talks about the salt and the light, now let me get to my place here because I wrestled with this. I tell you, godly influence. First of all, godly influence is something that you just don't get overnight. It just doesn't happen. It's something that God builds you up to. But he prepares you with that godly influence for a reason, right? So it's not just so you can influence and bring the light to you, but it's so that people, when they see you, they see God. So when we look at the salt and the light, it says, you know, Matthew 5 and 13, it says, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill, I think another version says city, built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. So in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify the Father. So it's a very familiar, those scriptures are very familiar to us and probably heard it a lot of times. But as I was praying and as I was looking for something to preach on, I kept coming back to the salt and the light. And one of the things that I point out about the salt is, or the illustration in this particular passage, it's the power of the salt. It's pointing to the salt. Okay, so in other words, it is telling us that there's something special about salt. Now, back in those days, they used salt to preserve things. Also, salt was very expensive, so it added value to whoever had it. I believe they also used salt as money. Now, when we think of salt, and this passage says, you are the salt of the earth. And so now you have to remember that the disciples, they didn't really go far out. They were just in a certain area. But now Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. Salt has the ability to have an impact. You know, if you ever cook and you're cooking food and all of a sudden, you know, you're getting your spices together, what are the one ingredients that has the power to change the whole flavor of what you're cooking? Isn't that right? So salt has a different kind of impact, a distinctive impact that, you know, even growing up, as I can remember as a little child, one of the spices that I knew very well was salt. Of course, pepper, but I'd always reach for that salt because it gave the food a different flavor. And so when he's talking to his disciples and he's telling them about the salt, he says, you are the salt of the earth, meaning that they were going to go further out. They were going to broaden their ministry or broaden their witness. It wasn't going to be, you know, back in those days, it was, you know, the area that they were in, I believe it was Judea, but they were going to go further out now. So in other words, Jesus was telling them that your ministry is not going to be just for the surrounding area, but it's going to have an impact on others, not just who you're used to ministering to, but it's going to have an impact on the whole world. Now, he warns them, he says, but if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Now, salt really doesn't lose the saltiness, but it's not useful if it's tainted. So if, in other words, in those days, the way they gathered the salt, sometimes it had some impurities in it. It may have other things in it that it wasn't useful to eat, but they couldn't throw it away because it will kill whatever it touched on the ground, so it will kill the soil. So they would basically put it in the pathway or the streets where people walked, and as the scriptures say, it was good for nothing except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. So he was warning them that your salt can have an impact, but don't lose your salt. Now, what he was talking about is don't take for granted what they are receiving. In other words, don't just go and start, you know, becoming relaxed, becoming, you start to, you know, see things and start to compromise. That's the word I'm looking for. You start to compromise yourself. And so now your effectiveness on people, your influence is not as powerful as it was. Now, let me walk you up to this point in my testimony. You know, wife was talking about when she met me, and yes, I told her that I was called to the ministry. But there was a point in time when the Lord called me, I didn't want to go home. Because we attended the church, and my father was the pastor. And I said, Lord, I wrestled with that. I said, you're not calling me. But then it became apparent. You see, there comes a time in somebody's life, in our lives, where God will make a statement in our life. And he will bring us to the point to where we will change our attitude towards him. So when I was called and when I finally went home, I told my father, I said, well, I just went home. He was outside. He was working on the car. And I said, Daddy, I walked up to him and I said, Daddy, can I talk to you for a second? And he laughed. He said, I already know. And I stepped back because I hadn't expressed anything to him. And he said, what do you know? And he said, you're called to preach. And I said, I just was kind of speechless. And he told me one thing. He said, he advised me. He said, now, let me tell you something. I want you to go, and I want you to preach. He said, but I can't force you to do anything, but I want you to listen to God. He said, but listen to me. If you stop, you're going to have, and he used the word calamities. He said, but if you stop, there'll be a lot of calamities in your life. And I didn't realize then, but now when I look at this Matthew 5 and 13, as he's talking about the saltiness, one of the fears when I was reading this and studying it was, I didn't want to be useless in the kingdom of God. I did not want to be useless. I wanted to be useful. And salt is good, but if it's not being used, it's not useful. So if you have it on the table and it's there, but if it's not put into the food, the food will not have the flavor, and the salt is not making a change upon or an effect upon the food. Then it goes on to say, you are the light of the world. It says, a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Now, when he's talking about the light, he's talking about another influence. Light exposes things. Light has a way of, you know, exposing everything. You can see everything. Now, let me share this with you. We can, you know, in our hearts, we can feel that we can, you know, just come to the Lord whenever we want. But it's inside of us. So, but outwardly, we can show something different. But with a godly influence, what it does is it works from the inside. It doesn't work from the outside, but it works on us from the inside. It shows us. It exposes us. And once we are yielded, once we are subject ourselves to the light and be submissive, it works a work on us from the inside. And then in order for light to stay, we have to be willing to stay in the light, because we can get away from the light, but we have to be willing to stay in the light. And so he tells them, you are the light of the world. Now, we know that Jesus is the light of the world. So he is saying we are reflectors in a sense. We are a result. We, you know, that light that shines within us comes from him, not us. Then he says, A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. In other words, we don't hide what God has given us. We have to let it shine. Because, you know, back in the days, the houses would sit on a hill, and they would light up with oil lamps. And what would happen is at night, people could see them far away. And it was kind of like a direction or a beacon where they could see, and as they travel, it would give them indicators. But that's how we are to be. We are to be, because what happens is in our lives, whether we believe it or not, or whether we, think it or not, somebody's watching. Somebody's watching. Now, it's one thing when we come to church. It's one thing when we clap our hands, and it's one thing when we praise God. But what happens when we leave out of the doors? You know, what happens when we go on vacation or we go out shopping? What happens then? Now, Jesus, what he was doing was he was preparing his disciples, because the Beatitudes also was character. And so what he was bringing them up to was he was, sharing with them, this is the character that I want you to exemplify. And now this is how I want it to make a change in your life. And so now what happens is he tells them, he says, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify God. And I'm going to share this with you. The question would be, how can we make a difference? How can we be salt, and how can we be light? That's the question. And do we think our influence impacts or can make an impact, not just here in the church, but in our communities and in the world? Because when I think of godly influence, I think of it as praying for revival. Because when you pray for revival, you don't start out with everything else. You start within yourself. You pray to ask God to make a change in your life. You pray for the Lord to strengthen you and build you up. And you're not saying, and God is the one who brings the revival, but you're asking God to bring a revival inside of you first. So therefore, the light, when Jesus was talking about the salt and the light, he was preparing his disciples because he knew that he wasn't going to be with them always. And so he wanted them to make an impact. He wanted them to change people's minds and change their lives. And so the way we change people's lives is we add some flavor. Because can you imagine, sin can be pretty hard. Getting up every day and you got to find something new that goes against God's will. You got to, you struggle every day, and sometimes you're feeling good, and sometimes you're feeling down. But, the salt and the light. You see, when people see us, and, they'll say, there's something about you. You're always upbeat. You're always acting different. I struggle in life. People will see a change in us. You see, because the difference is, we have the same concerns. We have the same problems. We go through the same things in life. We have the same things that the non-believers have, right? Am I right? Am I right about it? But the difference is, the reason I can have peace, the reason I can have joy, the reason I can smile in the midst of chaos, in the midst of my problems, yes, it hurts on the inside. And yes, I need some comfort. I need somebody to talk to me. But the reason I can get through it is not because of myself and my own strength, but it's because the God that's in me. That's how I get through it. But let me share this with you. We have to exemplify, we have to be an example and share that with others, because they are looking for something. Trust me. So here's the thing. I look at it like this. It's good when people know about church and know about God. But when it becomes personal, that's when the change happens. When it becomes personal. You see, and that's what the light does. It exposes and it makes you look within yourself. But it's the influence that draws us to the awakening of wanting to change. And so now what happens is, as someone starts to come into the influence, there's a work that is being done. And that work is God putting us with someone. Someone who holds us accountable. Someone who is walking us through the process. You see, Jesus didn't tell the disciples to go out and just, you know, drag people and say, okay, come on. Okay, I need, but he said, be the salt, add a little flavor. You see, what do you have? What do we have to offer? What do I do? You see, because everybody has gifts and everybody has talents. But I want to share this with you. When you find your purpose in God, when God reveals to you what his purpose and will is for your life, that's when you're able to have a fulfilled life. That's when you're able to live with joy. That's when you're able to really, really do the things that you do on your job. That's when you're able to really love what you do. It's when you find your purpose. Don't just do something because it makes you money. Don't just do something because it's what everyone else is doing. You see, when I came up here, I worked about, 3 jobs. I was trying to provide for my family, and I was going through all kind of things. And then all of a sudden, I just started getting involved with work. I'd work, work, work. Then all of a sudden, you know, you just after your work, you just want to just relax, get away, vacation, and all those things. All those things are good. But at some point, you'll get tired of doing good things, and you want to do God things. And as I prepare to close, God was sharing with me. You see, he said, you're great at work. You're a good worker, hard worker. Matter of fact, you got, you know, people pat you on the back, and people come to you all the time. Then he said, how are you working for me? Spoke to my heart. Then I had someone one of my coworkers, he said, Clint, he said, man, I appreciate you working so hard. He said, but you always talk about God. Why don't you put all that energy and work for him? And then I had someone tell me, they said, I was working and it was raining and we were out in the rain, we're getting soaking wet, and I'm helping everybody, we're all helping each other and everything, and I'm smiling, I'm trying to encourage them. I'm like, okay, it's raining, but we got to get the work done. And so a guy who was a contractor, he said, hey, brother, he said, let me stop you. He said, save some for us. And I said, what are you talking about? I'm trying to work. He said, save some for us. And he smiled. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, man, it's raining. It's pouring down. Everybody is upset. He said, but you're the only one out here smiling. And so he said, I couldn't help it. But the Lord said, hey, give some of that to us, because it's raining. We want to get out. And you just happy to be in it. But I hope that I encourage you in some way, because I couldn't come to you and just, you know, I had to come to you with my testimony. And my testimony is that, you know, to be honest, all of you have been a godly influence on me, because the times that I've come, you hug me, you share your words of wisdom with me, you talk to me, and it was that light that you had pulled me back. And then I think about this. You know, I pastored a lot of church. I pastored several churches, and some were small. And I think about, well, you know, small community and everything. But then I think about my father. Pastored small churches. I think about what, as a pastor was saying, the bloodline, and you know. Then I thought about this. They may have pastored small churches, but the impact went further out. The impact went further out. It didn't stay in that little town. That salt went out. May have been just a few, but it was that godly influence that impacted Indiana, that impacted Georgia, that had an impact, my brothers in Connecticut, that godly influence had an impact. You know, there's a saying that if you don't think your influence, how small it is, matters. Yeah, I believe it's an African proverb. It says, try spending a night in a tent with a mosquito. Maybe small, but he's going to make an impact. He's going to make a change. So I want to encourage you. I know you're probably saying, what does my light do? What can I do? Well, first of all, the salt is kind of how you speak to people, how you treat people. You know, it's when you see somebody, and if your attitude is not right way, they're going to be like, oh, they must have had a bad day. But here's something to think about. As I was studying, I came across a story, and it was a mother who wanted her husband and her son to be saved. So she was talking to a friend of hers, and she was telling them how much she wanted that to happen. And she was telling her that she was so sad about it, that sometimes she would cry, sometimes she would just get frustrated because she wanted them so badly to be saved. And so finally, her son came to her. And this is a story now, but her son came to her. And her son said, Mom, I know you have been wanting, you know, Dad and I to be saved. He said, but every time we see you, you look sad. And he said, so we have problems, but we managed to get through them better than you. And then he went on to say, he said, so we come to the conclusion that we're better off by ourselves than trying to be in your, to join your religion. So what he's saying, what he was saying is, it's our attitude. It's our attitude. The light changes us so that when people see us, they want what we, not what we're doing, but what's in us. They want the change. God bless you. God bless you. And I just hope that I've helped someone. You know, now it's time for the invitation. I just want to say this. You know, coming to the Lord or whatever it is that God is dealing with you, you know, as I said earlier, when it becomes personal, when you really, you know, make it personal. You see, I could talk to everybody in here, and if you didn't know me, you would just say, yeah, I seen you. But when if I come and make contact and shake your hand, you'll have a personal, it's more personal. And you see, the Lord he wants us to have a personal relationship with him. And so if there's anybody out there who doesn't have a personal relationship with the Lord, you see, he can change your life. He changed mine. And the way that that happens is you have to make the first step. You see, our lives, not just spiritually, but our lives change all in all areas of our life. And God wants to do that with you. So if there's anybody that has that desire, will you come? If there's anyone who needs prayer, maybe you're going through some things. Maybe you have something that you need God to address in your life. As we stand, will you come? Maybe you want God's influence in your life to show you what his will is for you. Will you come? Let us bow our heads. Lord, I just thank you for tonight. Lord, I thank you, Heavenly Father, for your influence, and thank you, Lord, for you, Heavenly Father, working in my life and working in the lives of others. And I thank you, Lord, for just bringing us here that we may bring you worship and praise. And so, Father, I pray that as we leave and as we go, I pray, Heavenly Father, that we will use your godly influence in our lives to impact others. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.